Hello, it's Penny Ryder here from Teaching Challenges, and today we're having our first episode of Classroom Chats, and today I have Beck and Kim here with me. Beck and Kim are both first year teachers here at my school, and we are going to have a bit of a discussion today about the things that beginning teachers struggle with at the start, some ways that we can support them as more experienced teachers, and then we're going to enjoy hearing a bit about the successes that Beck and Kim have had this year as they start out with their teaching. So first thing I would like to discuss is some of the hardest things that you found when you were getting started. So we might ask Beck first.
Some of the hardest things getting started this year were just getting used to the new school and the new routine, and as a beginning teacher, not exactly knowing what to do on day one and just sort of dealing with students and staff and parents who are all freaking out because you're young and you don't really know what you're doing, and yeah, fantastic stuff like that.
One of the hardest things for me getting started was that I started at the beginning of term two, not term one, and I came into a classroom that was very unorganised, and the children and parents had a very negative feeling towards school and towards teachers, and it was really hard to try and build up a rapport and trust between us so that we could get the room working more effectively.
So far you've both mentioned parents as being one of those things that you found difficult. Well, what were some of the things that you did to help build those relationships early on?
I had parent-teacher conferences straight up, so I got to know the kids the first couple of weeks, spoke to parents daily if I could, ring parents if they needed to. And then I had interviews with all the parents who wished to, so we could chat about areas of concern for them and then anything I wanted to work on. And I found that was a great way. And it's built up really, really trusting and respectful relationships throughout the year, which has supported me unbelievably in the classroom.
I had a lot of corridor conversations with some of my parents and getting to know them through that, and also inviting them in to be parent helpers in my classroom helped them to get to know me and how my classroom worked, as well as helping them to realise that I did actually know what I was doing most of the time. Another thing that didn't work so well at the beginning of the year was the year one team was... we all didn't know each other, and we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how we could all work effectively together. And yeah, since Kim's joined our group, our team, we've actually worked a lot of things out so that our team's running really effectively, and we share a lot of resources and help each other out all the time and support each other and do all those wonderful things that an effective team does.
Yay team!
Yay team!
You've mentioned some of the difficulties you had getting started. What would have been some of the things that the more experienced teachers could have done to help you as you settled into the school and started to work your way through beginning teaching?
And one thing that would have really helped me was actually being able to speak to the past teacher and getting information on the class and the students so that I could work towards gaining their trust, but also working in ways that was beneficial for them, because I have quite a few difficult students, and that would have been a really, really encouraging thing to have that information, so I could work with kids, so I knew their, you know, their pressure points, or I knew things that were going to trigger them off, and simple things like having people come in and observing better ways to handle things, or having a mentor there that you could actually turn around and say, this is not working, what else can I do, sort of thing. It would have been really good to have that, not just, you know, out of the classroom, but to have it sometimes in the classroom too, when things were actually happening, as opposed to later on when you've already struggled through and come up with a, you know, a solution that'll do just for now, as opposed to patching it up later.
I had a fair bit of support with doing guided reading, and one of the experienced teachers came into my classroom and observed how I did it, and then she showed me how she did it in her classroom, and then we sort of had a chat to see other strategies that I could use in my guided reading, which was really helpful. But of course, getting the time for another teacher to come into the classroom to do observations is always tricky. I felt that having guidance from an experienced teacher, not being told how it must be done, was more beneficial to me, just giving me a range of ideas for me to sort out what I felt most comfortable with. And yeah, I struggled with a few teachers who kept on telling me how our school has always done it, and so it had to be done that way because it was how it was always done. So yeah, sometimes you just need that guidance, not being told how it has to be done. The other thing I found was really helpful was some of the teachers I spoke to just listened to me, and sometimes I just needed to vent or get something off my chest, and I didn't need a problem solved as such. I just wanted to talk about it, and having experienced teachers who understood where I was at, just listened to me, helped me immensely.
Wonderful. Thanks for those ideas. We'll have to see if we can do better for next time. Now we'll have a bit of a discussion about how it was coming into a new school and what a school can do to help its beginning teachers or its new teachers who are coming in, how the school can help to give a sense of the school through orientation or some other means, what sort of support you would have liked to have seen there or what worked that you did have.
This is one of the interesting things. At the beginning of the year, we were given a staff handbook, which was a huge A4 ring binder that had all of the programs and all of the policies and the rest of it that the school has. But it was just so huge that I think I only got halfway through it before I realised it was all sort of a bit samey, and I kind of skipped the rest. But I found that checklists of things to do or timelines that are given out at the beginning of the year to help you plan, because I'm a very planned and organised person, just to get an idea of where you need to be at certain times of the year and what sorts of things you're expected to have done at certain times, and yeah, just clear expectations really, so that you know what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to be and how it's supposed to be done.
Something that I thought may have helped would have been not only just an orientation of your room and, you know, your team's rooms and things like that, but also, you know, it took me, you know, a good month to realise there was a maths room available, and it wasn't just having what I had in my room. I could actually access all these great things, and that would have really enhanced my students' learning had I known that all these other resources were available and where to find them. And things like that, the science room, and even things people have got in their classrooms, being able to go in and say, can I borrow things like that? That would have been really nice to know if you had that resource available, like right then and there, as opposed to 3 months after you've done the lesson or something like that. So it would have been really nice if they had, and maybe they do have a checklist or a document that says, this is what we have available in the school, should you need it, this is where you can find it. So, you know, we don't go running around looking for an electricity set. We know that it's in this room and that's where it should be, sort of things, making it clearer for us to find what we want.
I think one of the things that we found difficult was that we were all new teachers to the school at the beginning of the year, and so the whole team had no real idea about what to expect for the rest of the year and were sort of fumbling our way through. So possibly one suggestion would be to make sure that such a situation doesn't happen. So there's always a teacher who's been at the school for a while mixed with the new teachers, so that they can support and give that that greater sense of chats on teaching challenges. And if you'd like to find out more about what we've been doing this year, you can check it out at www.teachingchallenges.blogspot.com. Thanks. Oh, that's right. Bex just reminded me that one of the things that I thought would have been good was to have had a chance to sit down with the women from our front office and to discuss what they expect as well in terms of handing notices in and newsletters and money for excursions and things, just so that we weren't finding it out as we went along or making the errors and then upsetting people. So That would have been good. Okay, so now we'll have a look at some of the successes and challenges that Kim and Beck have faced this year. So, Beck, do you want to start out with some of the challenges that you faced?
One of the challenges I faced this year particularly was acceptance from the parent community as a new teacher to the school, but also as a new teacher to teaching. I found that a lot of the parents weren't exactly sure of what I was all about, and there were a few times where they were unhappy with how I'd run the classroom, and they needed to discuss it with me or with executive staff, and just working through those issues and putting in practices that made them realise that I really was interested in their child and how I could best support their child in the classroom. It took a while for them to, or for us all to, form that relationship, as I imagine it does at the beginning of every year. But I feel that now my parents are more likely to come up to me and let me know when things have happened, or if they've got concerns, they're more willing to come in and just pop in and say, hey, this is what's going on. Could you help us, or could you explain to us what's going on so that we can help them? And yeah, it was one of my biggest challenges, because last year in my previous job, I didn't have a lot of contact with the parents.
So you've said that you've learned a lot from doing that process this year, and you've got a better sense of how to build those relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
What sort of things do you think you would do next year as you head into the new year, meeting parents and building those relationships? What sort of things have you thought through for that?
That's a good question. Through the year, I've seen how you interact with your students' parents, and I really liked the way that you did the email contacting them through that. We did work quite a lot on the My Classes page, and I would like to maintain that and keep it running. But yeah, just keeping that contact with the parents as easy as flicking off an email and saying, this is what's happened, so be aware of this. If your child comes home upset about so-and-so or whatever, they sort of have that heads up. So I did like the way of contacting parents through email, and it's a very easy way of keeping them up to date with notes that have needed to be handed out, and any playground incidences or also successes that they've had in the classroom, which is always good to let them know.
Okay, Kim, so some of the challenges you've faced with your teaching this year.
One of my hardest challenges was walking into a room where the students had no expectations on anything. They could do whatever they wanted, and that was okay with them, and they didn't push themselves in any way. They had no expectations for their work, no quality, no standard, nothing. And if they didn't wish to do it, then they didn't have to. So half of my battle was to get them enthusiastic to learn, to accept that, you know, giving it your best is the most important, not necessarily just doing it because, you know, well, that'll do. And so that was really hard, because a lot of the students didn't appreciate having a new teacher come in, especially a younger teacher who turned around and challenged their efforts and asked them to push themselves and to extend themselves. And I had a lot of children who didn't wish to come to school as a result of that, because I now asked them to push themselves and to work. And so that was really hard to work through with the students and the parents, because, you know, getting your kids to school is half the battle, I guess, for parents. So coming into a place where they actually now need to work is a huge change. But that was, I think, part of their learning and growth. And as a result, they're now very positive and very enthusiastic. And I can give them a challenge and they'll take it on board regardless of what it is. So I think that it was really important that they learnt that it is a good thing to challenge yourself, and when you reach that goal, to push yourself just a bit further to see what else you can get. Being able to get my kids happy to be at school and happy to learn was the biggest challenge, because until I could do that, I couldn't get them to do anything. They wouldn't work. So that was a big thing, and as a result, I had a lot of difficult children to manage, especially with behaviour. And so it was really difficult to walk into a room that had a lot of children who did as they pleased with their behaviour, and to put down expectations in that area as well. So that was a huge challenge to try and just get the room to run. I think I spent the first term doing an hour a day on social skills and language and communication purely because the room would not function otherwise. And that was a huge shock to my expectations of walking into a room in term two, which, you know, by then I thought would be at least a little more settled. So it definitely challenged everything that I thought about a year one classroom and how it should start.
So what were some of the behaviour strategies you used when you came in to help modify those behaviours and to get things back under control?
Well, based on certain children, I had different expectations for different children. I have a few extremes, so for them there was different levels. But for the majority of the class, I had a three warning system, and it was a gentle warning of one, please don't do that, and telling them what they were doing was not appropriate and tell them how they could fix it. And then again for two, if they repeated it, and again reminding them of the behaviour and how to fix that, because there's no point warning them if they don't know what it is that they need to fix. And then three, and it was a timeout, and it was purely enough time for them to sit at a table I had in the room still, so they could still be involved, but enough to say that, you know, the behaviour you're showing is not acceptable to be a part of the whole group. And I found that that worked really effectively, because most of the time I never had to get to three. I never had kids in timeout. For my more extreme children, I had a system where for their really extreme behaviour they got their warnings, but should they persist or become violent or anything like that, they would actually be removed from the room, and I'd have my executives come and speak to them or remove them should need be. But basically a lot of my focus was on positive behaviours, so I set up rewards books, and that also included every subject and socials and behaviours. And any time I saw them doing anything like that, I'd give out bonus stickers and they could put it into the rewards book. And I had a chart that I made up on their table, and any good work or anything like that, they'd get a stamp, and when they got up to so many stamps they got a reward. I had a class chart that I started. When they achieved so many of their class points, they received a class reward. And I also had a tables group, so it was a really, I was trying to do a lot of positive reinforcement for these children who were, in my view, trying to get attention through any way, and the only way they had got attention was through negative behaviour. So I tried to reward their positive as opposed to focusing on the negative, and as a result I found a lot of the kids responded quite quickly, except for the really difficult students who took a lot more time to respond, but that was just due to their own nature as opposed to what I was doing.
You've done a great job, and when I know when I walk by now, your class is settled and on task, and it looks really great. And even when we all meet together to do things, they're so settled, and they can come in, and they've got a lot of respect for you. So you've done a good job with that this year. So now let's continue to go down that tact, looking at the greater successes that you've had this year, some of the things that you feel have gone really well for you, and that you'd like to share. Start with Beck.
I found that our greatest success at the moment has been creating a team that works really well together. At the beginning, like we said, the team didn't work so well together, and one of the team members did end up leaving, and that's why we got Kim in term two. And just for the three of us, finding our feet and being in the same boat of not knowing what exactly the routine was. So all supporting each other in finding out things. So if Kim found something out, she'd pass it on to Penny and I, or if I found something out, I'd let the other two know, so that we're all on the same playing field. And getting together each week and doing team meetings and sort of dividing the tasks up so that we all had an equal share to support each other and help each other out. I think the way that we've built our year one team into a really cohesive group has been one of the best things through the year, considering that at the beginning of the year it was just a bit of a shambles. So I think we've come a long way, and we've learned a lot about each other and from each other, and it's just been a fantastic end of the year. One of my other successes is just recently finishing my probation successfully and having that weight off my shoulders, not knowing that I have to have reports written about me every term, and knowing that the staff at the school are happy with the job that I'm doing, and they feel like I've done a great job with my class and feel like I've learnt a lot as a teacher. And yeah, feeling the success of knowing that I've done a good job and people have acknowledged that.
One of my greatest successes is obviously the fact that now my students are enthusiastic to learning, probably nearly overboard with their enthusiasm to learning. But it's really changed my room around. I can now say to them, we'll do a challenge or we'll do this, and they just go, yes, let's do it. So it's really, really exciting. And my more difficult children are now, you know, have, despite being quite defiant at the beginning of the year, are now turning around going, okay, yes, I can do that, and accepting help and accepting that I do have an expectation they will get this work done to the best of their ability, and they actually do it now. So I think it's really good that I feel that all my students are achieving to the fullest at this point in time, which is where I wanted them to be, because they were pretty much nearly 10 weeks behind when I first got them. So the challenge of trying to get them up to the other year one classes was a little bit of pressure I didn't think I needed first year out, but it was a challenge that I took on board, and I feel that my kids are now working where they should be and they're happy to do it. And I think that's really important that they've come that way, and watching them grow and learn to that extent was really, really, well, encouraging for me, but it's been very rewarding. And one of the other great things is that I can ring any one of my parents, and most of them come in most days to have a chat anyway, and it's not just about their kids, it's about anything. So we've got a really good rapport and respect for each other. And you know, I had a lot of parent helpers. You know, as the year goes on, they get a bit tired and run down, but at the start it was very, very well done. And it's been really, really encouraging to have these parents turn around and go, is this what your professional opinion find? And, you know, it's been really encouraging to have that support of, you know what you're doing, and thank goodness, and well done, look what you've done with our kids and where they are now. So that's been really great to see from where we've been and where we are now, and the parents and the staff and the children are all really happy as a result of it. So I think that's my best thing about this year so far.
Wonderful. I've just added an extra question for Beck and Kim, and that's we've come to the end of the year, I notice that we keep doing a lot of we'll do this next year. So I just would like to give Beck and Kim a chance to have a think about and discuss some of the things that they would like to do differently or work on to improve for next year. Or what they're excited about doing again. Yeah, I'll pass it over to Beck.
One of the things that I felt would have helped us at the beginning of the year is having an idea of what, especially with integrated unit, what areas we were going to cover through the year. So next year I'm hoping that at the beginning of that year we can get together and as a team and sort of plan out exactly what we're doing through the whole year in literacy and maths and integrated units, so that we don't have any gaps and we don't feel like we're frantically trying to catch up and fill in all of the blanks before the end of the year. But I'm also looking forward to doing a lot more with my ICT in the classroom and working a bit more with my classes and communicating with parents in a different forum. It will be interesting to see how the U1 team is set up next year. Obviously, there's not 100% chance that we'll all be working together again, and the challenge of getting with another group of teachers and seeing if the strategies that work so well with the three of us will work in a different group as well. Looking forward to having a new group of children as well. Should be interesting. There's some interesting kindergarten children coming through, and just seeing how the classes are made up and what sorts of things we can do to challenge and interest those children as well, because they're obviously a very different group to the ones that we've got at the moment. So seeing the different kinds of activities that they're really keen on. And the final thing that I'm really looking forward to for next year is I'm going to a PD, or Kim and I are going on to a PD on developmental play curriculum, and just implementing as one of the new teachers, trying to implement a new style of teaching and learning into the junior team. and trying out some of the developmental curriculum strategies in our classrooms and seeing if, hopefully, if others can see the benefits of it, encouraging other teachers to do the same.
Something I'm looking forward to next year would be a job. at the moment, I'm only on contract, so I've done the best I can. I've got some really encouraging comments from my executives, so it would be nice to stay where I am. I would love to stay here for another couple of years just so I can get, you know, a bit more of a solid base as to my teaching, as opposed to having to change again and again and again. It'd be really lovely to stay, especially in the same team, but, you know, we can't all have everything, but we can always hope to sort of get a bit more of a rapport with not only some staff, but with some parents and some standing in the school, so that, you know, when you do try to implement something new, that you have a bit of support because you've been here for a year or so, and, you know, and we've finally gone through a battle where we've earned the respect of the parents and we're now seen as teachers as opposed to just new people coming through. So to sort of, you know, walk around the school and have them comment and say hello and things like that a year later would be really encouraging to see. So it'd be really nice to sort of put into place some things we've learnt just recently for next year and to be able to try out some new strategies or some new behaviour management that we've just learnt or discovered and see how it works from the start as opposed to at the end, because, you know, every week you come up with something new that you want to try, and of course you don't have the time anywhere in your schedule to do it. So it'd be really nice to sit down and try and work out how you'd implement all that into your classroom. I did circle time training, and I would really like to implement that in from the beginning of the year as opposed to starting term three when we did it. I mean, it's great in my room, it's been very successful and the students all love it and really look forward to it. So something I could do perhaps at the beginning of the year to help build a bit of respect and a bit of relationships between the students as friends, so that they're learning how to you know, you can do your role plays with social problems and all that, all in that. So I'd like to do all that from the start of the year, but it'd just be great, yeah, to have a job for next year and be able to teach, because I've had such a great year doing it. So despite the challenges, I just think it'd be great to do it all again, and I'd even take my class back again next year just so I could teach again, because I really want to.
Now, Penny hasn't had any questions faced at her, so we thought we'd ask what Penny's looking forward to for next year.
Aww. Like both of you, I'm interested in trying things again and trying things differently. And at the moment, I'm not real sure where I'm going to be, but I want to work on wherever it is. I want to build another good team and be part of another good team, as opposed to struggling it out on my own, because I do find it's much more beneficial for all of us and for the kids when we're working as a team. I'd love to play a bit more with stuff on the computers and try to figure out how that ties in with the quality teaching framework more. I'd like to teach the Lilies again, I think, because I'm enjoying that. I'd love to do year one again, and if I'm here, I'd love to be able to explore the subjects, the integrated units again. And the one we're doing at the moment, are we there yet? I'm really enjoying, but I would consider maybe putting it earlier in the year as opposed to the end. So I'm sort of trying to think of how we'd shuffle it. And like you, Beck, I would like to have it all planned out a bit better at the start of the year so that we can see how it's all going to link together and we can make better use of the resources and the time that we have and stuff. So did either of you have anything else you wanted to add? No? So thanks, Beck and Kim, for joining us today, and we hope you enjoyed listening to the first episode of Classroom Chats on Teaching Challenges. And if you'd like to find out more about what we've been doing this year, you can check it out at www.teachingchallenges.blogspot.com. Thanks.